Podcast Dojo, episode number 10. Master the art of the podcast. It's Podcast Dojo! Hey, everybody. Hello and welcome to Podcast Dojo. This is the show that each week inspires those who want to start a podcast to actually grab a mic and get recording, coach those who are podcasting to aim for the very best, and to cheer the podcast community on as podcasting becomes more and more popular each and every day. I almost screwed that up, but I finally got it right. Yay! If you only knew how many takes it takes for me to actually get through that. So the glory of podcasting, the things you don't really want, you can just kind of, you know, knock them out and kind of shove them off to the side. So, but anyhow, I am your host, Brian, and thank you very much for coming back by for the 10th time. This is the episode 10. We have finally recorded our show and we have taken it and we have uploaded it to our media server and we have gotten all the links and stuff taken care of and we've got them placed on our self-hosted WordPress site. And we have got it all set, ready, raring to go, waiting for your audience to get it. But how is this going to be our question this week? How do you get your audience to be able to hear your show? How do they find it? This is kind of the eternal question that we're going to be covering. But before we actually dive into that question, I sound a lot like Bill Clinton for some reason all of a sudden. Wow. Okay. Now I'm going to leave it. Anyhow, if you have any questions at all about what we covered in this show, please feel free, or any of the previous shows, actually, please feel free. Shoot me an email over at brian@podcastdojo.com. If you would like to make a comment about this show or any of the other shows, this show is, you can find it at podcastdojo.com/010. This is episode 10. And if you, would like to be able to get the podcast a day earlier than even iTunes would be able to get it, then go to podcastdojo.com and over on the right-hand side, you're going to see a big long red button that says subscribe. It's free. Click on that, enter in your information, and you are set. You're going to be grabbing all the goodies before anybody else does. That is our Podcaster Society mailing list, and I would be glad to have you on board and being with us as we create our society, create our group, our super secret group, or however you'd like to describe it. So click, and also there you can also get to our Facebook and all the other good stuff. So anyhow, now on with episode 10. This is probably the hardest part of podcasting. A lot of people actually would sit there and think, you know, it is so tough to get to go through and edit out all those ums and ahs and all the other things. You really don't want to have your audience hear, right? Other people go through and go, I spend 3 hours typing out my show notes. It's so hard. Actually, that's not the toughest part around. The toughest part for me, or at least for me, and I guess a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm starting from no audience. And that is building an audience, gathering your audience together. This is the question that everybody wants to ask. Besides for how do I start a podcast? The next question is, how do I build an audience? How do I get more listeners to my show? Well, and that's it. There's not much to it, but it's very involved because a lot of people think that it is Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come. Well, the people who you're building your show for aren't ghosts, so they're not going to just show up. You've got to work at it, and you've got to really, and this is, like I said, this is the hardest part of actually podcasting, and one of the most exciting and the parts that I enjoy the most is seeing how you go about on gathering everybody, getting them all brought together, and have them become that community that you're wanting, that you're desiring to have. To do that can be a challenge, but your show's going to grow as much as you provide value. So, but before we even get to growing your audience has to have one particular thing that is still part of, that's still in your core. And that is, they've got to have what is called an RSS feed. This is how their podcast catchers and their podcasts like iTunes and Pocket Cast and Downcast and Beyond Pod and all these other pod catchers get your information. When you put out a new show, this is what they will go out from time to time and go, hey, do you got anything new? Hey, these podcatchers go out and check and see. And if what they check is what's called an RSS feed. Now, people will have talked about, what does RSS actually stand for? Well, most people believe that it stands for really simple syndication. And that's because it makes it real easy to share your information with anybody. If they want to subscribe to your blog or to your podcast, all they have to do is grab your RSS feed, add it to their RSS reader, or sometimes called an RSS aggregator, and poof, voila, anytime they open that up, they're going to have all, from the last time they checked, they're going to have all the good stuff. So if they are using Feedly, like a lot of people do these days, then they're going to have all the recent episodes. So like if someone checked my site and was out on episode 5 and they opened it right now, well, guess what? There will be 5 brand new episodes they could actually go through and listen to. Awesome. A lot of times they'll actually even go through and automatically download for you and be queued up, ready to listen at your earliest convenience. So what exactly is an RSS feed? An RSS feed is actually, well, it's to keep from going into geekanese, which is my form of speak that when I try to explain something, because all of a sudden I will start yabbering out lingo that causes my wife's eyes to cross. And so she just very politely tells me, honey, you're speaking geekanese. I don't understand a word you're saying. And so if there's anything that is really difficult for me to say, is to actually be able to go into technical explanations without, and be able to explain it in a very easy manner, so that people who don't understand what RSS and XML pages and things like that are, and be able to understand and explain it to them and let them know, hey, this is really important, but you're not going to understand a bit of it. And so let's see if I can do this. An XML file is basically just a bunch of garbledy gook. If you were to look at an XML file, if you go to, say, podcastdojo.com/feed, bring it up, it's going to look like it's an unfinished HTML file. But this is very specific information. It has got all the excess garbledy gook stripped out of it, special information put in there just so that RSS feeders, or not feeders, readers, the big difference, RSS readers can look at it and go, all right, this is new stuff. I need to have this. This is the title. This is this and this and this and this. It's all set to a specific standard. And so, yeah, it looks like garbledygook. And that's because that's what it is. It really is just garbledygook as to a means for a machine or a program to be able to read a standardized file, without having to deal with all the pretty colors and background and images and stuff like that. It may download an image or two, and that's about the extent of it. But, you know, like it's not going to be distracted by the extra menus that you have on the side, because it doesn't care about the menu. It just cares about the latest bit of information that you put on there. Now, a lot of people really start getting kind of wiggy about it because they're like going, well, so they're reading all of my data, all my articles from my page or from their page without going to mine. So I'm not getting any hits. Well, okay. Yeah, true. True. You are sacrificing some hits, but the thing you really want to worry about is making sure that your audience, your listeners, those people who you want to reach get your information. Is it really that important that they actually physically click onto your page? If so, there are ways to set your page up so that it doesn't give them the whole thing. It gives them a summary, maybe the first 250 or so characters or 150 words sometimes. And if they want to finish reading it, they have to go to your site to finish it. There are ways to set your RSS feed up so that it does that. If that's how you choose, if you're really worried about not getting the hits and you want to have those unique visitors and returning visitors show up there, then great. I personally am not going to worry about it because if they're going to need a comment, if they want to comment on something that I've said, then, you know, they're going to actually come to my site and leave a comment down in the comment section underneath the show notes. So that's how I really worry about it so much. So anytime you create your WordPress site, you're always going to have an RSS feed. It's just part of it because it's a blog. Blogs are constantly being updated or typically constantly being updated. And so this helps your audience to be able to actually see that constantly updated material without having to constantly go back and forth to your site. Because some places, you know, they update 3-4 times a day. And if your site's doing that, you're not going to have your listeners are not going to remember to go to your site at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and at noon and at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're not going to remember to go to that. They may hit the 6 o'clock and then come back at 6 o'clock the following day. But if something happens, they forget. Well, then all of a sudden they're not going to see that awesome article that you wrote that's going to cause them to tell their friends about that awesome article, and they're not going to be able to get, you're not going to get quite as much, as many eyes on it. And so there is advantage of having an RSS reader, and that is the people can, your audience, your listeners can view your data, your information at their own leisure, which is what you really want. You don't want to force them into doing something they don't want to do. If they don't want to see your stuff, then they don't want to see your stuff. Don't try to force them to it because then your audience isn't going to be quite as happy and you're not giving as freely as you really want to do, because the more freely you give, the happier your audience will be, the happier your audience is. Guess what? The more they're wanting to be your cheerleader. So one of the big things that will happen or that has happened is because blogs are so popular, but, and because RSS feeds, really don't have a means of being able to track how many people are hitting your site and how many people are using your RSS feeder or RSS feed. There was a service created called FeedBurner. Now FeedBurner was purchased by Google and is still in use by Google. And what they basically do is it's a means of doing an RSS redirect. So you can actually make a very simple feeds.feedburner.com/podcastdojo, and it will take you to the proper feed. And a lot of times they go through, and if you've got some invalid feed information, FeedBurner will help correct it and make your feed more valid. While a lot of times that if you're going off of if you're reading, taking your feed off of just straight off your blog or off your podcast website, which is obviously a blog, you're going to have, there's a chance that your feed's not going to be completely valid. And we'll go into reasons why your feed may not be valid right now. But one of the good advantages of using FeedBurner is that it fixes some of the invalid layouts that will happen in your feed. But there are two sets of people in the podcast and a lot in the blog world also. Now, a lot of people who are for Feedburner. We'll talk about them first. The people who are for Feedburner, one, they like the fact that there are stats. They tell you how many subscribers are in your how many people are subscribing to your blog. How many subscribers do you have for your RSS feed? And this is okay. It gives you a very, very rough idea, because one moment you may look at it and you may have 120 subscribers. I would love to have 120 subscribers, but you know, you have 120 subscribers, and then the next day you look at it and you may only have 15, and you're going, holy crud. And you go into panic mode because all of a sudden you've lost, you know, a huge chunk of your audience. They're not there. Well, the way Google checks, or Feedburner itself actually checks to make sure it's a subscription, is that is how many people are, how many different feed RSS readers. I'll get my terminology straight one day. So how many RSS readers are hitting your feed that particular day? So one day you may have 120, the next day you only have 10. So you don't know if that's the same person or if that is 150 different, completely different people. So like I said, your audience, your subscription levels on that swing dramatically, and you don't know how many dedicated readers you have and how many are just from time to time, they just kind of hit it. But the other thing that the people who are for Feedburner really like, well, besides for the fact that it kind of does a little repair, it also does a good job with fixing your feed up so that you can actually do podcasting in it, with it. And we'll go into the full details of how to set Feedburner up in another episode, because right now I am of the camp that I'm not really for Feedburner that much anymore. I like the stats a little bit, but I'm not going to be a diehard reader from that. I'll look at how many unique hits the actual website has itself, which, I mean, is a good indicator. Not a perfect indicator, but it's a pretty good indicator that you've got people who are coming in. And at least I know that there are new eyes that are hitting my site, that they're going, oh, hey, look, it's a podcast. And I'll look over here and they get up some more information and may get a few more listeners that way. If I get new listeners, great. If I don't, well, okay. They were able to glean the needed and necessary information that they were able to pull up from my site, and it provided them a little bit of value. But the you can use Feedburner to actually podify or turn your I forget exactly what, I think it's Feedcast, I think is what the service is called. But you can it'll actually put in all the needed RSS tags for iTunes to be able to recognize the different MP3 files, and so you can. It's good for that. So if you're having to go very dirt cheap and you can't use, and you're not able to use a paid service or paid hosting, and so you're having to use like Tumblr, you can actually take the RSS feed from Tumblr, throw it into Feedburner, take Feedburner, roll it up into a podcast feed, take that podcast feed and subscribe it to the different directories, which we're fixing to get into. Now, I am for the group that is not, I'm leery of Google nowadays. Google has gone through and has done a lot of shutting down of some really high profile services. Now, I'm sure that it's for good reasons, as for example, it's just not making any money. It's a completely for free, no ads on there, no way to put ads in there. So there's no way they're really making any money off of it. Google is a corporation. They have to make money for the shareholders. That's their main purpose. Whether they do evil or not doesn't matter. They have to make money. If not, then bad things can happen. So there is a chance. Now, Google's has not updated Feedburner in a very long time. iTunes has required different, has made changes to their specifications, and Feedburner hasn't updated it. They've killed, Google itself's killed off the Feedburner Twitter feed and a bunch of other little bits to make people kind of nervous that maybe they're going to start shutting FeedBurner down. Maybe it's just because, well, no one's listening to those, and it's just no need in having somebody spend time tweeting out, hey, FeedBurner's down for this reason, when no one, you've only are, you know, tweeting, telling people that, and telling five people that you're, that the site's going to be down for a few moments. But the problem that you're really going to have, especially with iTunes, is that there's no real way of being able to go in and go, hey, my site changed, you need to start looking over here, unless you have access to the previous link. And then you can put in a redirect to say, hey, we're no longer at this site. You need to hit a new tag over here. You need to hit this over here at this URL. And from there, iTunes will go, oh, well, okay, y'all are moving to here. Let's make sure. Yep, you're listed there. You're showing up there. Good things. Okay, we're going to start checking there instead. And so that's what really makes it makes me kind of nervous about what's going to happen with FeedBurner. I don't know if, like, Google Reader, very big RSS reader that was used by lots and lots and lots of people. How many exactly? I have no clue, but I know that there was more than two. So you had all these people, and all of a sudden, back in July, or actually before July, about the first of January, people started getting these little messages saying, hey, Google Reader is going to be gone in July, the 1st of July. Well, holy crud, what in the heck's going to happen now? Now, luckily, there was enough people around to where they were able to go, hey, I'm ingenious enough to be able to quickly put out an RSS reader aggregator. And so they put together, and all of a sudden Feedly and a couple other sites came together and showed up. And now we have a solution. Luckily, that solution came up. Now, there's a solution if FeedBurner ever does get shut down, but it's a paid version. I'm just not a fan of FeedBurner. I would like to have that control, and that's the way I do. I just go ahead and just go straight to this. I'm going to go to this particular site, and if it ends up I need to shut it down and move it, then I will put in my redirect for that particular feed, and we'll change things around as things happen. I have the ability and the control to be able to change the URL, redirect that URL to wherever it is I'm needing to go. So I would rather feel comfortable knowing that if I go to make a change, I've got that ability. I don't have to wake up and all of a sudden one day see, oh, hey, yeah, my RSS redirect, the service that I used, they just decided to close their doors last night at 3 a.m. There's no way I can now change things around. So I've lost all my listeners. This isn't a good thing because, like I said before, it is tough to get your listeners. So whether you're going to use just your straight up, feed, which is your, domain name /feed/podcast, if you're using PowerPress, which I recommend, turn those. I would rather use that than, like I said, than having to sweat whether or not FeedBurner is going to be closed or not. Now, there's a lot of people who don't think FeedBurner is too big, too popular, and that's a good chance. It's too big, it's too popular. They're not going to shut it down next year. They're not going to shut it down 2 years from now. But I just don't want to take the chance of waking up one day and it being gone. So, but anyhow, whether you choose to do FeedBurner or whether you choose to do your own particular RSS feed, as long as you know which one you want to use, bravo, excellent, because that is what you're going to be using for just about every single podcast directory you're going to actually be signing up for. The big one, the 800-pound gorilla that you absolutely, if there is any podcast directory you sign up for, the one that you must absolutely sign up for is Apple iTunes. And the way you do that, you have to have iTunes installed on your computer. If you're a Linux user, you're going to have to find someone who's got iTunes, and you're going to have to set up an account, because you've got to be signed up to be able to sign be able to register a new podcast. And what the way you do that is you go into iTunes, go into the store, iTunes store, and you're going to see podcasts. Click on podcasts, and over on the, well, it seems to switch from version to version, but anyhow, over on the, typically over on the right hand side, you're going to see submit a podcast. You click on that and you just fill everything out. There's going to be a feed or RSS. I can't remember exactly here at the moment. Should have been better prepared. My fault. That's where you'd put your, either your FeedBurner feed or your whatever.com/feed/podcast. And for iTunes, you want to use the feed/podcast because there is a limit on the number of listings that you're going to be able to have, whether you've set that yourself to 100 or so, or if you're going with standard 10. Because, and if the reason why you want to make sure that you use the podcast feeds or feed/podcast is because if you are using just the /feeds or feed, not no S on the end, you're going and you have and you've got it limited to 10. Well, you're only going to get 5 episodes showing up if you've got five episodes of your podcast showing, and then you also had 5 blog posts that you put in. It's going to give you your site will only put out those last 10 episodes or last 10 posts, and only 5 of those are viewable by iTunes. So you're going to be missing quite a few. So I recommend going into your settings and changing that to, you know, about 100. And from there, you can make a couple of, make some other altercations so that you're able to keep things running. We're getting more in the finite details of that in another episode also, but you definitely want to make sure that you are with Apple iTunes. And it takes them it. Well, it's Apple. Apple does what they want. And it could take you anywhere from, I've had it happen as quick as a couple of days to as long as it's taken. It took the Hayseed report 3 weeks to finally actually be approved and accepted. And once it was, then hey, you're in like Flint, as they say. Now, another directory that you wanted to use is Zune. Now, Zune is, you're going to say, well, why would I want to use Zune? Who uses Zune MP3 players anymore? Truthfully, not very many people at all. I haven't seen a Zune player around in a very, very long time. But the Zune marketplace is still up and running. It's the program is the podcast portion of the program is actually ran by a guy named Rob Greenlee. He is a co-host on the New Media Show. And if you're wanting to have your podcast entered into the Zune marketplace, which I really recommend you do, you would just shoot podcast@microsoft.com and give the pertinent information, name of the show, the URL for the show, the RSS feed for the show, and send that to him. He'll get everything put in. And if you ever have to make a change, just shoot a message over to Rob and let him know what the changes are, and he'll actually update the changes for you very quick, probably the quickest on getting placed into the directory. Now, another one I would recommend you do is BlackBerry's podcast directory. Again, this is for a phone, group of phones that are dying away, but there's still a lot of people who use BlackBerry's, still a lot of people very much in love with their BlackBerry's. And so I would recommend you go ahead and, be, as Pat Flynn says, be everywhere. So make sure your podcast is listed in the BlackBerry directory. The links to those three are, and everything else, and plus a whole bunch more, can be found over at podcastdojo.com/directories, I think is what it is. I'll double check. If not, that's what it will be. I'll make for sure. But I've got a list of directories that cover just about anything and everything that can be around. All of them are ones that I have submitted to. So I'm sure that there's a bunch out there that I haven't submitted to, but I'm not going to put those up because I don't know how the protocol for working with them is. And so I just go ahead, and as I come across one, I'll try it out. And if it works real, if it's fairly easy, it's good, good service to use, then I'll go ahead and I'll throw it up onto the list. And If one happens to die off, I'll usually run a line through it and keep it up there for just a little bit to make sure that it's actually dead and not just someone tripped over the power cord. So, so it's, you may see one. I know Syndicate is actually gone. I'm fixing to actually remove it. So it may still be there when you get this. It may not. But if it's not, don't worry about it. They've let it die, and I don't want to have dead links on my site. So, but another company that you want to, or directory you want to be part of, is Stitcher. Now, I'm sure you've heard of Stitcher. Stitcher is this amazing online streaming service, and they stream podcasts. That's what their focus is about, podcast. Now, we're going to focus on the podcasting. We're going to get podcasts in the cars, and they've actually have, they, I think the Mazda 3 or the Mazda 8 or one of the Mazda, a couple of Mazda cars have got Stitcher available in them. They're becoming more and more popular in different cars. And so this is one of the reasons why podcasting is becoming so much popular, is because of companies like Stitcher. Now, another one that I actually, directory I really recommend you go to is Two Thumbs Up. And this is actually done by the same guy who did Podcast Pickle, which is another directory, great directory to be in. A lot of people still hit it. It's just not as up to date as what it used to be. Now, something that happens from time to time is you will say you submit your feed to Apple iTunes, and a couple day, 3 days, week later, say, I mean, sometimes it, as I said, it takes them a while. They come back and they say you've been rejected. One of the main reasons that you get rejected is because your feed is not valid, and you have to make sure your feed is valid to be accepted into the majority, if not all, of the feeds. Not to mention, you want them to be valid so that they're able to be read by all the different directories and your podcatchers and things along those lines. So what, one of the ways you do this, you can go to feedvalidator.org and put your feed URL in there. And what will happen is it'll go through and it'll tell you, hey, this is a valid feed. You may have some problems in here, but otherwise your feed is valid. As long as you got the feed is valid notice, you're good. If you don't, you want to sit there and try to start figuring out. You get the fun of playing around with your plugins, with a couple other things. Now, there's the three main ones I've run across. First one is plugins. I have had more problems with a plugin killing my feed than I have had any other problem. Why it does this, I don't know, but the best way to do it is the most aggravating, because what you have to do is you have to spend maybe an hour or 2 hours turning all your, get all your plugins turned deactivated. You don't have to remove them, just deactivate them. And then one by one, turn a plugin on, check your feed. Still, it's valid. Good. Turn another one on, check your feed. Still valid. Good. Keep on, keep on, keep on. Now, if you turn all your plugins off and it's still not valid, then a lot of times it may be something else, but eventually you'll go through all your plugins until you hit the one that's caused the problem. From there, you got to decide how important is that feed. Now, if it's like PowerPress, that's very important. So you're going to need to find out, leave that one on and start checking the others again, the other ones that you've already turned back on, and find out which one is having an incompatibility with your PowerPress. And from there, again, you have to decide how important is that other one, because you want to have your PowerPress. That is your podcast plugin. You've got to have that one. But say you got them all turned off, you ran your check, and still wasn't valid. Best, I would start looking at, what did you edit your podcast notes in? Did you do it on the web page, or did you use like Microsoft Word or LibreOffice or OpenOffice or something like that? A lot of times, especially Microsoft Word's the worst. I haven't really had a whole lot of problem with LibreOffice, which is the open source office software that I use now. But Microsoft Word does. It throws in little extra hidden characters for like an apostrophe or the ampersand or the at symbol or whatever. When you put those in, it's not just that little symbol. It's a whole bunch of hidden symbols that are in there at the same time. to let Windows itself, or not Windows, but Word itself know that, hey, this is what this symbol is. And you'll see that a lot of times if you were to take your page and you were to post it up onto a site and then upload it, and you were to look, especially question marks seem to cause a problem, or not question marks, apostrophe seem to cause a lot of problems, along with semicolons, because what will happen is all of a sudden you'll get a question mark, and sometimes it's the upside down question mark, but there's usually some question mark and it really stands out, and you get a whole page full of all this, and that is Microsoft Word in action, to put simply. So you want to make sure if you did edit a post with Word, you want to go through, take the post out again, copy it from Word, paste it into WordPad, which if you're using Windows, again, is already on your computer, but it does strictly text. And so paste it in there, and it will automatically take all of the Windows or Microsoft Word crap, strip it out of there, and then put it in. And then after it's taken that out, then you'd want to recopy and repaste into your WordPress blog. Try it again. That will normally fix the problem. If that still doesn't fix the problem, then there's a good chance it's your theme. I've only ran into the problem of theme being the problem once, and it was a really experimental one. I've grabbed it out of off of a third party site, and it wrecked a lot of stuff. And so I ended up just taking it off and looking for something better, which I was able to find. So, but once you go through and you've got your feed validated and you've got it up on all the different directories you want to do, if you want to do them all the ones I've got listed, excellent. If you don't, well, that's okay. Fine. Also, now it's time for the really, really hard, difficult, challenging part that's actually out there. And that is, go tell the world who you are, as I say. And how do you do this? Well, a lot of people, especially a lot of the sites that have already been doing, like Pat Flynn, he started off, the reason he kicked out of the gate like a wild man that he is because he actually had an audience before he started his podcast. He had a good sized following through his Smart Passive Income blog, and then he added the podcast to there. So yeah, you hear these people who start off their podcast and all of a sudden have got, you know, 100,000 listeners. Don't sweat that, because that's actually an exception to the rule. There are, unless you already have, if you already have your a following, when you start up your podcast, then you're going to end up having a really good chance of being listed as a new and noteworthy, which is awesome. Great. Good job. High five yourself and everybody else around you, because you're doing awesome. Now, if you are closer to being like me, yeah, you don't have quite that type of following. I mean, I had 1,000 people on Twitter, but they're not all that engaged. I have a few people who I talk to really, but they're not really a podcast centric type of person. So if I was to go, hey, I'm starting a new podcast, I may get 2 followers out of 1,000. Okay. So how do you get your audience to build? Well, one, to make sure that you have a thoroughly engaged audience. One way is to start building a mailing list. And that's what the Podcast Society that I was mentioning at the beginning, to be able to get the show a day early. That is my mailing list. I am collecting a mailing list. I'm list building, as they say. You get your list going, get your list built, and you will start seeing who's more active and who's not. You can start really kind of grooming your audience to be to the more active folks. Now, you can also go besides for that, and that takes a long while, and that takes a lot of work, and that's not the only time that you're going to have to put a lot of effort into building your audience. The other way is you're going to have to start doing a lot of searches. Search for, know who your audience is. Who are you aiming for? Like your Podcast Dojo. I am aiming for people who are either A, podcasters already, or like podcasting and are thinking of starting their own show. Well, where are they going to typically hang out at? Well, a lot of them are going to, a lot of the, I'm thinking ofs are on Twitter. A lot of the thinking ofs are also on the different podcast shows that they may already listen to, like Adam Carolla, Smodcast Network, the 5x5, things along those lines. Earwolf, all these different already established networks, they're going to have a big following. They're going to have their forums going. And that's what you're actually going to be looking for. You're going to look for the forums. And as you find these forums, you want to join up with those forums. Podcasters, I'm in LinkedIn, and I follow a couple of the Facebook communities and Google Plus communities and all these other podcasting communities that are on the different social networks. Now, while you're there, this is where you have to become a member of the society. You need to become a member of that community. Now, a lot of people want to try to start a podcast and go, hey, well, I'm going to have forums and blah, 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 blah. You don't want to do forums until you have at least 1,000 listeners. All right. Just flat out. Once you hit a known, you've got 1,000 subscribers, without a doubt, 1,000 subscribers, then you might start trying to talk about starting up a forum. Before then, don't, because it's going to be Scooby-Doo land and ghost town and Scooby in a Scooby-Doo commercial or television show. Not worth it. So don't even try doing a build that type of community yet, but be active in other communities that are already established. Go look for your show and find and add the word forum to it. So if you're say you're a health nut, you're doing a weight loss podcast. All right. Well, you can go to Weight Loss Forum and join up there. And the great thing about forums, now, not all of them do this or allow this, but some allow that at particular times. Signature. Your signature is going to be your best friend, because for one thing, you're able to do your keywords, whatever keywords you want. So like podcast, like a master. Learn how to podcast like a master. If I wanted to have that as my set of keywords so that people would be able to find me, you're able to do a little bit of Google bombing, not a horrendous amount, but a little bit of the Google bombing, and it still be kind of kosher. And you can then link it towards a particular page, whether it's your podcastdojo.com or whatever your page is. You're able to put that information and have it linked to your site. Now you have a lot more links and stuff. And so typically forums have a little bit higher page ranking than what you do. So you definitely want to have some links head in your direction. But whenever you go to a forum, do not immediately go, hey, well, I have a podcast at this location. You can join up and be on my mailing list at this location, and you can do this location and blah, 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 blah. Because immediately what you're going to do is you're going to have them go, all right, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for trying. Eject. And you will get booted, kicked and banned before you even had a chance to say hi. Because a lot of times the first 10, 15 messages are moderated anyhow. And then if you make it past those levels, then you have, you're trusted in a leery way. You're kind of trusted and okay, let's see how you act. If you start getting out of control, we're kicking you. But it's like being a new person in a small town. I don't know if you've ever tried living in a small town, but when you first move in, you are looked at like you've got an extra set of arms hanging off your back. They look at you kind of weird. You're not fully trustworthy. You have to prove to them that you are not going to try to spam the crud out of them. And so offer advice. Don't offer your website. Just offer advice for whatever the topic happens to be. Get active. Hit a website. Hit your forum twice a week at least. More would be better, but at least twice a week to find 3 or 4 different podcasts or different forums and work them into your schedule. These are 3 or 4 places that you have to go to, and you're going to go to, and you go to them on a religious basis, nearly religiously. Because as you go, people will start getting to know you. They'll start looking on your profile and go to your site, and you'll pick up listeners that way. You'll start becoming known as the go-to person for, well, in my case, podcasting or whatever. So That is the tip of the week. Forums, great way that you can get your audience. You can you get to know them in way. You get to know your audience in a very intimate way. It's great. The problem, though, do not rush it. Do not over try to sell your show at all in these. As you get further down the road and as you become more and more known, people may ask you, "Hey, are you doing a show?" And you say, "Yeah, my show's here," and you may be able to put it in there. You may get in trouble for doing that. I did that once. They were like, "Hey, let me know when you do a show," and I let them know, and yeah, immediately I got banned. So you have to be very leery, and you have to make sure you understand who the moderators are, and become the moderator's good friend is one thing to do, because they're the guys who decide whether or not your life is going to be okay or going to be a pain while you're at these different forums. So anyhow, now news of the week. I've got some news of the week, and this is actually really good. Now, I've started this show up way after everybody really started talking about Electronic Frontier Foundation and versus Personal Audio LLC. Now, Personal Audio LLC is a patent troll in the every aspect of the word. This guy, and it's a single guy who's got this deal. He apparently tried to do a personally read news, like take news articles out of Newsweek and articles out doctor say. Healthcare articles out of Newsweek and USA Today and all these other different known media, have them read into a cassette tape, and it would be mailed to you, and you would then have that. So as you drove to work, you were able to listen to the news. Lot like what a podcast was. Not a podcast, though, because they went through and they actually, Personal Audio LLC actually went off and created a patent, and it's patent number 8,112,504. And then this year, beginning of this year, decided as podcasts are starting to really get popular, this guy was like, "Hey, I can make some money off of this. This fits a lot like what podcasting is, and I should be able to make some money by extorting people, extorting those who are making lots of money off of it." And that's what he tried doing. He sued Adam Carolla and Discovery Channel and a couple other places for copyright infringement. Well, Electronic Frontier Foundation got into the game and was like, "You know what? Podcasting was around way before this dude decided to try to make before he got his patent." Basically, the patent office didn't do due diligence and decided just to give it to him and said, "Okay, it sounds right. It sounds okay." Luckily, they put out the call, and the great, wonderful podcasters and the podcast community rallied, raised $76,000 for the Electronic Frontier Foundation to actually put a valid argument to the patent office to challenge patent number 8,112,504, and have come out with examples of Geek of the Week, which is being produced way before Personal Audio LLC ever thought of doing what he did what they did. And CNN and actually CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, both were doing something very, very, very similar to podcasting, but not calling it a podcast at that moment. They were doing electronic broadcasts of their shows. So looks like we may actually be able to keep podcasting free for everybody without having to find deviant ways of dodging a very rather nasty patent troll. So there, good news in the week this week. So anyhow, so folks, I am going to go ahead and I'm going to wrap this puppy up. I want to thank y'all very much for listening. And if you are interested in creating a podcast, you're going to need a hosting site. And a great place to host your site is with Site5. You can go to podcastdojo.com/site5. That's an affiliate link. Helps me be able to pay for the hosting and just is a means of just being able to say thank you. And if you do, I will let me know that you signed up through our affiliate link. And once I'm able to verify it, I will go ahead and I will let the world know, let the podcasters of the Podcast Dojo know that there's a great podcast either starting or fixing to start that out there in the pota world or whatever you want to call it. But go there, shoot me, let me know that you've got it. And if you need any help while getting it all set up, let me know. Yeah, you can contact me over brian@podcastdojo.com, and I would love to be able to help you. Speaking of love, if you wouldn't mind going to podcastdojo.com/love, that will give you a pre-populated tweet that you can send out to your followers. Let them know that, hey, we're out here. That way we can get some more listeners coming in and help the show to grow. If you have any questions, also you can call up 530-763-2789 and I will leave a message and I'll play that message on the show for you and be able to answer your question live on the right then. So, but anyhow, if you are listening to us through iTunes, please go to podcastdojo.com/review and leave a review of the pardon me, leave me a review of the show. And 5 stars would be awesome, but just an honest review would be great, and however many stars you think we are worth. And if you're on Stitcher, please give me a big old thumbs up and share the fact that you're listening to us to the rest of your community and help us to be able to grow that way also. So you can also find me on all the different assorted social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, iTunes, Google+, and all that. I've got links to those on the homepage, and you can find those over on the right hand side under subscribe. So folks, I thank you again very much for listening. You have yourself a great day, and now go tell the world who you are.
Member of the Hey Rolling Podcast Network, HeyRolling.com.
Yeehaw!